Put it, we are all members of the body of Christ, and individually we all have gifts.
Yes.
You know, some people might have the gift of healing, some might have gift of vision, some might have deep insight into the mysteries of God. That's a deep insight into understanding. You know, and at the end of the day, in reality, it's all one spirit. So all these things are meant to all work together in all the members of Christ. Now, when Jesus Christ will walk up and do certain miracles and do certain things, it is the flow of the Spirit in Him that performs all that thing. See, in that Spirit, in that flow of the Spirit, all the blessings, all the gifts, everything you can think of is there. If we walk in the Spirit, we walk with Christ. That same Spirit gushes through us like a river, and you know, you can never tell how the Lord will use you in areas. So I just say that some of these things that you do, you think you are doing it for nothing. People are really blessed. If you really seek blessings from God, you know, you want to do your things purely to minister to the body of Christ, not to be seen of men. Not to be recognized by men. Yes. Yes, the other things will come by his own time.
Yes.
You know, very, very important. I remember I've met some people. One prophet, we met him in the other day, and he said that he sees events, great, great events coming. That I should prepare myself. That he sees great, great things. Events, he's talking, obviously. You know, there's a timing for everything. So he tells me, I should work hard, I should prepare myself. Prepare myself, try hard. Don't be waiting. See, there's something coming for you. Great things. See, he saw me among great men of God. Great, great, great. See, so in likewise manner, anybody that is patient and does the will of God single-heartedly will reap in due season. There is no doubt about that. Amen.
Amen.
But the ultimate that we actually reap, those who have walked faithfully with Christ, is the realization of a new heavens and a new earth, which is God's creation. Because we know this heaven and this earth that we stay in right now will pass away. It's passing away. It's a constant process. See, when we talk of this present heaven and earth, it's the realm of mortality. This natural realm is very, very temporal, more temporal than people ever think. One day you wake up and you discover that this thing that you thought you were or you thought you were related to, you just discover that they are not there. See, that's why it's good to grow in awareness and awaken in the days of your flesh. See, I once said that there's no soul that is ever lost. No soul is ever lost, but you see, the way you hear the voice of God, it's good to hearken to it and let that voice raise you up so that you can walk in the light as it's in the light. Now, when you walk in the light, you can never die. There's no such thing as death. Of course, you can always shed your body, you can leave the outer body, but it does not talk about that, is not death. So you can become so spiritually aware that, you know, this thing that people fear of death and all that doesn't come to you. You laugh at death, you mock at death. Death is just something that men fear. People who are still in darkness, people who think that they are material beings of this world. Praise God. Paul, like I read in another message, Paul had the opportunity. He said that, look, he preferred to live, to be with the Lord. But he's just there in this world so that he can minister to the brethren, so that he can be of use to the brethren. And some of these things I will say are very, very extreme. But you must have insight into the deep things of deity before you can speak in this manner. You must be able to see afar off. You know, most of us in this world as men, we don't see afar off. We have a very limited vision. see, our vision is limited to this age. But we don't understand that it's just like a speck, less than a speck in the dust, the little moment you spend in this earth. Just think of it, how many centuries have passed, how many people have passed, where are they today? You think that they are just gone like that? They're still there. You see it? But the light has come now to cause us to awaken and walk in the light. Now, if you, as long as you are in this world, in this present dimension, this realm, this natural realm, you are definitely under the law. See it? You are definitely under the law. And Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin.
Sin death.
Wages of sin, that is the salary. The consequence of sin,
yes,
is death.
The reward.
Yes, of sin is death. And sin is what? Transgression of the law. Now, if you look at the Ten Commandments properly, you study the law, there's no man that can say he does not break the Ten Commandments. There's no natural man that can say he's perfect. It's impossible. In fact, Jesus Christ says, because of us, we say this man is good and all that. You know, there's no such thing as a good man. You know, somebody was telling me one day that this guy, oh, is a very good man. I said, there's no such thing as a good man. Okay, you can be good before men. See it? You might certify, you know, you might, what do you call it? Satisfy certain parameters to please the other person, and the person calls you good. See, but before the face of the Almighty, there's no such thing as a good mortal man, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All men are sinners. All men are falling short of the glory of God. And like we read this morning, Paul says that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, a natural man cannot please God. See it? So as long as you have this, you know, mortal identity, this human identity, as long as you have a sense of being in this natural world, there is no way you can be an accomplisher of the law. The children of Israel saw God upon Mount Sinai, they saw the sign, the mountain quaked, they saw great signs, more than what we've ever seen today. They saw the Lord come down with fire, trumpets. They said it was a terrible sight, and the mountain quaked. They saw miracles in the wilderness. They saw things that, you know, the Red Sea. They saw the Red Sea parting and they passed through. They saw miracles. If you want to talk of miracles, the children of Israel saw miracles. But they could not stand and fulfill the laws of God. God gave them a pact. Now, if you want to walk with me, if you want to continue and enjoy that land I'm going to give you, you obey this part, the commandment. So he gave him his commandment. And you see, they could not fulfill this commandment. They tried again and again. In fact, when they entered into the promised land, what happened? Eventually, they were sacked and destroyed and cast out of the promised land by the king of Babylon. Why? Because they glory of the Lord and left them. They could not fulfill the law of God. They became all of them unworthy, very much like the nations among them, the nations around them. So they were cast, dispersed from, you know, from the Holy Land, in, you know, among the nations. So there's no way they could have pleased God. Even the holy prophets, great men of God, some of them who offered their bodies to be sacrificed, to be killed for the testimony of God, none of them had that opportunity or had that privilege to really please God. None of them. They were all accounted worthy. None of them could please God. No, not even one. That is why Jesus Christ came upon on the scene and he says what? Look, I did not come to abolish the law, but I have come to that the law might be fulfilled through me. He came that this law that men have not been able to fulfill be fulfilled by yes, he has come that to do it. And this is it's possible to walk right now harmoniously, knowing that you are pleasing God. Praise God. He has brought in a new era called the era of grace. The law came by Moses. See, naturally, any man that is born into this world, the natural body, already is under the law. When Moses, Adam sinned in the garden, he became subject to law. Good and evil. Don't do this, don't do that. All this, that's law. It's a natural thing that awakens in a man as a man is subject to vanity, as a man lowers from that high celestial spiritual state in God. We're going to come to that now, very soon. So Jesus Christ says, I've come. See it? Because that eternal life had eluded man ever since the fall of Adam. Eternal life had eluded man. And Jesus Christ has now come to restore that true life. Now, eternal life is not just ordinary life. It's God life. It's the life of God. That is the essence of God flowing through you. The totality of what God is, what God has, that is eternal life. And that is the life that God gave us freely from the beginning. See, when God generated man, he made man his image, and he gave everything to man to have dominion and to rule and let him be like us, like us. See, God never withdrew anything from man, never withheld anything from man, and never does. See, but man descended and lost awareness of all this. Now, to some extent, every man has limit, is limited. You know? That's why when Jesus Christ went about doing things, miracles, then people go, hey, miracles, miracles. But in that dimension, these are not miracles. These are just ordinary, normal.
Which you can do.
Yes, normal day-to-day things. These things that they call miracles are not miracles. See, they call them miracles just because they are falling. That's why it says, oh, you of what? Little faith. He looked at them, he was sorry for them. He saw the mortal, he was sorry. He wondered, how could these sons of God have fallen so low? He had compassion upon them. Oh, that he raised somebody from dead and everybody runs there and oh, you know, he turned, you know, loaves of bread, you know, five loaves of bread to thousands, everybody runs there.
Wine into water into wine.
He does this miracle, everybody runs there. But these are things that belong to the Son of God, to the sons of God. See, but we are falling, that's why we look at these things with so much awe. So what happens now? Jesus Christ has come to restore that life in us. He was an example of the embodiment of eternal life. See it? He was an example of those who don't live by law, who are above the law. Jesus Christ made one confession. He said, I always do the thing that pleases the Father. I always do the thing. I know my Father has not left me, and I always do the things that please him. That's what Paul said. Paul says, those that are in the flesh cannot do what? Cannot please him. Now, Jesus Christ says, I always please him. That means he was living in another dimension. We're going to come to that now. That's one thing Jesus Christ says. He says, unless these heavens and this earth pass away, not one single law will be removed. That it must be fulfilled. Now, he has given us a key here. He's given us a key. He's trying to tell us here that only those who enter into God's kingdom have the ability to fulfill the law. Amen. So only those who enter into this new creation, this new heavens and the new earth, truly know what it means to be overcomers. Like as Jesus has said it, unless this heaven and earth passes away, which is this realm, this illusion that we live in, there's no way you can fulfill the laws of God. It's impossible. If you live in the flesh, as a natural being, possessing your own identity after the flesh, not recognizing your origin in God, and walking in that origin, there is no way you can fulfill the commandments of God. It's impossible. See, these heavens and this earth, this present dimension that men walk in, has to be dissolved. And this event occurs by the brightness of His coming within us. There has to be illumination, enlightenment, transformation, and conformation to that truth, that real original model that God is revealing to us today. Heaven and earth must pass away, but my word will not pass away. That same word was made flesh. What Jesus Christ is saying is that word that was made flesh, which is Christ, will never what? Pass away. And we are called to be conformed to that word, because we are born again of what? The incorruptible word. Incorruptible, we are born again of the incorruptible word. We are born again of the Spirit. And the Spirit is what is eternal. Praise God. Amen. Jesus Christ says flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit God's kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. That which inherit God's kingdom is that which is Spirit. For this reason, there must be a rebirth. And this rebirth, first of all, starts by a spark of light within us, revealing who you truly are. You must get to a revelation of your origin and where you're going to. It's very important. As long as you hold on to some form of identity in the flesh, there is no way you can fulfill the laws of God. There is no way you can enter God's kingdom. Love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love your neighbor as yourself if you have your own identity? Your own identity that you worship and you keep. And your own neighbor has his own identity that he worships and keeps. And the other one has his own identity after the flesh. There's no way you can enter in. You must have a revelation of the inner spiritual body, the inner spiritual man, which is one. There is only one living one, which is Christ. It's only as we get this revelation and grow in this revelation that the gates of heaven is open for us. The gates into God's new creation is open for us. Now, we're talking of a new creation here. A new creation that is reserved for the saints of God. I'll quickly turn to 1 Peter. Something that never passes away. 1 Peter chapter 1. Big Bibles. I'll start from verse 2. Elect, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge. No, I'll start from verse 1, sorry. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are exiles. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has given us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to it. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in these last times. Praise God. There is a salvation that is about to be revealed in this last time. You know what the last time is? The last time is that time you enter into when you have the revelation of Christ. That's the last time, because entering into Christ and entering into all that Christ represents, represents the end of this world. It's the end of darkness. It's the end of ignorance. And you are being translated and ushered into a what? A new kingdom of light. See it? Paul writes in his letter, you know, saying that the examples of, you know, the Israelites who were delivered from Egypt by God and led into the promised land are simply shadows for we upon whom the ends of the world has come. See, we are the ones that have come to the end of the world. We who have the revelation of Christ. The end of this world simply means entrance into a new kingdom, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of blessings, an eternal kingdom that does not fade away. A kingdom where those that attend to it all have eternal life. See it? These are the ones that fulfill the law spontaneously. They are no more under law. See, the man of the spirit, you know, spontaneously fulfills the law without even trying to. See it? He doesn't even think of it. You know, the man of the flesh tries to be good. He tries not to do this thing this way. He tries not to do that. But the man of the spirit is good already.
He doesn't have to think of it.
He doesn't have to struggle nothing. All he just does is to maintain himself in that place, in the spirit. He's above the law. It's only those that are in the flesh that are bound unto law, because of they are bound to a sinful, corruptible nature. Praise God.
Amen.
Just think of it up there. God is up there in heaven, in the skies, high above. Can you tempt God? Can you tempt him with $1 billion?
Mm-hmm.
See it? Can God get jealous?
No.
All these things that we do as men upon the earth, simply because man is subject to a carnal nature. Man has been demoted spiritually and has become like the beasts of the field. That's why they go about doing the things that they do. You see, and as long as you know how you have a beast, when you have a wild animal, a wild beast, what do? You cage it. If you have a wild dog, what do? You put a chain on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a law to kind of control it. To kind of, you know, to kind of curtail it so that it doesn't go out of bounds. That is how the law is. The law is there for the unlawful person. The law is there to tame the unlawful person. See it? Why should somebody come and tell me that shall not kill? Why should somebody come and tell me thou shalt not steal? Don't I know that I shouldn't do such things?
Mm-hmm.
It shows the level of how low man has become. See it? He has become so, he has descended so low, and he has become dull of hearing. He has been subject to vanity. So he now needs these laws to kind of guide him. See it? But those of us who now enter into Christ do see the perfect thing. Because those that are in Christ are already in harmony with the will of God. Praise God. All they just do is to please God and to enjoy the totality of the fullness of God. Brethren, why do you think that you don't have faith to move mountains? Why do you think that you fear? What do you think that God is far away from you and you have to cry all night to get to Him? It's because of a sense of unworthiness. See, it is a sinful nature, a sinful consciousness that we have all put on in the descent in Adam. We've always looked at God as something far away. Even some people call God Father, but in reality they do not really know God as Father.
Correct.
Some people do not even realize how close God is to them, how that God is closer to them than their own breath. Some people don't realize this. It's all as a result of the veiling process. Man has descended and has been subject to vanity. Praise God. See, but Jesus Christ has come as the light of the world to loosen us from the grip of corruption. See, he's coming to awaken us, reminding us of the nature, the substance we are made of. See it? Reminding of where we came from. It is the revelation of who we are. It's a revelation, that light that is shining, that will cause us to awake from the dust. Have you read the psalmist very well? If you read the psalms, you notice the psalmist is always talking of God to quicken him, God to raise him out of the dust, that I'm sinking down into the miry clay, deliver me, and all that kind of stuff. All over the scripture is always dust, 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 dust. It talks of the carnal nature. See, that man has put on in this age. And God wants to redeem man from that nature. And your redemption comes first of all by hearing, by listening. You know, we are so distracted. You know, people are distracted, running up and down, trying to do things. Some people even try to do ministry to please God. Some people try to, you open churches, you labor day and night to try and make converts and all that stuff. At the end of the day, you discover that you don't even yourself have that understanding. You don't have that awareness yourself. Praise God. So much distraction here and there, how to make ends meet for the future, tomorrow and all that. But if your eyes are open to know the weight of the glory that is inside of you, you will stand still and let the Lord complete this work in you. Praise God. So there is a kingdom reserved for us. Have you thought of it? Peter, I don't, we just read that in First Peter chapter 1. He said, God has reserved a kingdom for us. A kingdom undefiled, incorruptible. See, an eternal kingdom. See, we're not talking of a natural world. We're talking of a spiritual kingdom. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Reserved for us, for every man. Eh? See, every man. That kingdom is there. Nobody can take it from you. See, but the earlier you hear the voice of God and awaken to the reality of this kingdom, the better for you. Because those who find this kingdom overcome the power of death. They overcome the power of death and its fruits of fear and all the torments that men pass through. Just like the prodigal son. You know the prodigal son?
Yes.
The one that left the father's presence. He left the father's presence and went about with pigs. Pigs talk of carnality, is the realm of men. See, pigs talk, you see pig wallowing on the mud. It shows the level in which the prodigal son descended. He descended to the level of pigs, to the level of mortality, corruptibility, you know, corruption, lusts. See, he descended into that realm, but he now remembered, you see, he had a revelation, that spark of lightning in him that reminded him that what he has somewhere is, he's somebody. Why am I suffering here among pigs? He wants day and night, in tribulation day and night, when I have a father who has everything. A father who is rich, who is great and everything. And he came back, the Bible says he came back to his senses, his remembrance, spark of lightning. Let there be light in your mind. Let there be illumination. Let there be remembrance. He came back to that sense, his senses, and he started an ascent back into the Father's presence. See it? And when he came to the Father, he said, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son again. Let me just be a servant. And of course, that should be the mind of any man that wants to reconcile back to God. Just to be a servant in the house of the Lord. and the Father to look at everything I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. Why are you? See, all that I have is yours. That's what the Father told him. And he gave him his ring, you know, and gave him the robe of righteousness, which is righteousness and light, the light garment. He gave him the ring of which talks of his authority. In those days, the ring used to be a seal, a sign of authority, you know, when they stamp, they normally used to stamp with their rings in the days of the Roman Empire and all that. They stamped with their rings. It was a sign of authority. And of course, he had the signet. Yes. So that signet will be the signet of the Father, with the Father's authority. It's like the Father's signature. So he had the authority of the Father. It's like when you see him and you see that ring, it's the Father you're seeing. They will treat him with, they know that that's the father's son. You see it? So you see, the prodigal son had a kingdom reserved. You see it? Nobody took the kingdom away from him. I'm sure maybe when he was going back, he thought maybe the father would reject him. But the father can, how can the father reject his own son? Now we are seeing deep into the divine mind of God, that we are suffering. We suffer in our humanity out of ignorance of what we are, the substance that we have, you know, thinking that we can kind of gain satisfaction with something upon the earth. See, but no matter how far you go in this world, there's something that will always be missing, and that is that life, that eternal life, which money can never buy, which success can never buy, which knowledge can never buy. Praise God. And that life is gotten only in our awakening, only in receiving this gospel with humility, quietness, not to be carried away, distracted. You know, there's so much distraction around. Not to be distracted, not to be taken away with the appearance of things, but to lay hold on true substance, eternal life. See, when his prodigal son awakes, or when a man awakes, he discovers that he's in the likeness of God. The psalmist says that, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Your satisfaction comes only in your awakening. Then you will discover there's a kingdom handed over to you, reserved for you in the heavens. A kingdom. Jesus Christ says, I give you a kingdom. An eternal kingdom, incorruptible kingdom, a glorious kingdom. Oh, praise God. This is the new heavens and the new earth that the Bible is talking about. A new creation. Praise God. Every man that has this revelation of this new heavens and the new earth, any man who has a vision to see afar, you know, afar off, not to be carried away with this life, we enter into this place. Praise God. You must have the revelation of this place and begin to purify yourself. Your purification comes by confirmation and by revelation. You don't purify yourself by trying to do all the acts of men, righteousness acts of men, no. Your purification comes by revelation of what Christ is. Revelation of your true identity in God, your origin in God, and the revelation of what the brotherhood is all about. Because in God there is a whole bunch of brotherhood. Amen? We all came out of that place. Remember Jesus Christ when he came out from after his resurrection?
Yes.
Before he ascended, he told the disciples, I go to your Father and my Father, your God and my God.
Yes.
See it. What Jesus was telling them, we are brothers. We are all brothers. But you know, in the descent, our intelligence was blinded. We could not see each other. We couldn't even see ourselves. So we walk in darkness. That's why we fight each other. We are bitter at each other. We compete with each other, vainglory. It's because we can't even see ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ says, wash your eyes. Wash your eyes. Amen.
Amen.
Wash your eyes. When you wash your eyes, then you will see clearly who you are. Then you see your brother. Wash your eyes. You remember when he told the blind man, as the blind man is spat on the ground, saliva, he anointed this blind man's eyes and told the man to go to one pool, the pool of Siloam, to wash his eyes. You know, if you study that the Bible properly, that pool, the river that, you know, that normally filled that pool, was one of the rivers from Eden. We're talking of the natural Eden, the one of the rivers. Is it River Tigris or one of the rivers? You know, there are four rivers out of Eden. It was one of the rivers. Praise God. Means that you have to go and let us wash your face in the spirit day and night. You know how you woke up in the morning, you go to wash your face? We have to wash our face. When you wash your face, then you begin to see the truth. Patience, not to be carried away. You know, at times we wake up early in the morning and we are carried away with our work, carried away with, you know, with family problems, carried away with, you know, things around us. But we must get a revelation of Christ. Get a revelation of what he's saying in this hour. Get a revelation of the new heavens and the new earth. And that is where your treasure should be. That's where your heart will be. Praise God. You cannot be in the new heavens and the new earth and be in the old creation. See, that's why Jesus Christ says, you must lose all. Leave all to follow me. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot enter into that kingdom bearing your old identity as a man. The old identity that you bore in this world must die off. Then you are going to inherit that new name which is in Christ. Praise God. So a new heavens and a new earth. That's why in the book of Revelation, you see that the new Jerusalem, they describe it as a city of gold, transparent gold descending from heaven. Praise God. Which shows the incorruptible nature of that building. When you see gold in this world, I think you have some gold, you know, trinkets or whatever, jewelry. Do they fade away? They remain gold. Praise God. That is why God uses gold to describe the New Jerusalem. These are spiritual concepts. Because this new... Yes. You know, some people think... Yes, some people think that gold is something that, you know... I mean, God's kingdom is a place where you go to physically and you have gold beds, you know, gold buckets, gold plates, gold cups, gold toilets, gold bathrooms. Amen?
Amen.
See, but all that is just illusion. These are, God uses these things to express the invisible things of God. Praise God.
Amen.
We are above things like gold, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes. We are. If we put on the nature of God, these things, we are above these things. These things that men fight over. Men fight over diamonds, gold, go to war, over oil and all this stuff. If you ascend into Christ consciousness, you'll be above those kind of things. Praise God.
Amen.
So a new heavens and a new earth. Praise God.
Amen.
If we are to escape the curse that is upon humanity, we must get a revelation of this new heavens, this new earth. Praise God.
Amen.
Unless this present heavens and earth pass away, this heaven and earth that is natural of this world passes away, there's no way we can enter into the new heavens and the new earth. It's impossible. This thing must pass away, ushering us into a new era in Christ. Praise God. This is what Christ came to preach. Hallelujah. Those who are in the resurrection, those who are awake at the sound of the trumpet, those who are awake as they hear the voice of the Spirit, are those who enter into this new Jerusalem. For flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Praise God. I'll quickly turn to the book of Revelation. These are scriptures we've read before, but we have to remind ourselves again and again. Isn't it?
Yes.
Remind ourselves again and again, otherwise it's very easy to forget. The human mind forgets.
Sure.
Very easily. When you walk out of here, there's a little problem, you forget. When you walk out here, you see the bills from the postmaster, you forget.
Particularly when it comes to a matter of scripture.
Yes. Verse chapter 21, Revelations. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Praise God. Now, this new heavens and the new earth is the new creation that Christ has promised for those who diligently seek Him. Praise God. It's not, it's a spiritual reality. Praise God. You can have your physical bodies here on earth and experience this new heavens and new earth. This is God's kingdom. This is God's world. See, it is a world where righteousness is found in. It's a world where we find the true victory that we seek. Those who have hungered for righteousness, those who have sought the Lord patiently, those who have wept for their situation, their weak carnal nature, and have sought change and hungered for righteousness, those who have knocked on the door of God's kingdom, those who have, you know, who have seeked and seeked and seeked the name of the Lord, those who have asked that thy kingdom come over and over again, who have not fainted and waited patiently and continued in the ways of life, in the ways of truth. These are the ones that will find themselves realizing this new heavens and the new earth. Oh, praise God. For the first heaven and the first earth pass away. That is the old corrupt world, that the realm that we live in, the dimension we lived in, when we're in darkness, when we walked in the flesh. That old system passes away. That is the system that Jesus Christ came to put an end to. He did not come to improve this corruptible system, but He came to put an end to it by the revelation that comes shining forth from His face. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So what a new heavens, and there is no more sea. The sea talks about the pit, the bottomless pit. Praise God. It talks of the endless font of iniquity. Endless font of iniquity that flows out from the heart of man. Jealousy, hate, anger, bitterness, revenge, self-pity, gluttony, lusts, you know, idolatry, and many, many, many things. It's an endless list. All that Jesus Christ said, these are the things that defile a man. See, once those things are within you, there's no way you can stand before God and say, Father, your conscience will condemn you. The devil will be there to tell you, where are you going to, boy? Who are you? Aren't you a sinner? See it. But when you enter into the new creation, there's a healing that takes place. There's a transformation that takes place. And you discover that that bottomless pit is sealed up. You do not have that intention anymore to hurt your brother. You don't have any intention to have revenge anymore for your brother. All you have is love, 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 true love for your brethren around you. Praise God.
Amen.
And when you have love for your brethren, you are fulfilling the law of God. What does the Ten Commandments say? Ten Commandments is simply summarized in two ways. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. Praise God. When you have entered into this dimension, you've lost your flesh identity. You begin to recognize yourself in your brother. You begin to recognize that you are one body. Love abounds like the river. And along with the love comes the required righteousness, the required, you know, peace and righteousness that we seek. Everything flows along with it. Praise God.
Amen.
Paul says that the end of the faith is unfeigned love. That is pure love. The end of the faith. The end of the faith. That is the end of the work that God is performing in the lives of those who are listening, is to bring us to a place of total innocence and pure love. Like lambs. Have you seen lamb? Sheep.
Yes.
Pure, innocent. Have you seen the babies of sheep? Lambs. Pure, innocent lambs who can just do nothing but love. Innocent. Praise God. Unless you possess that innocence, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's a new heavens and a new earth where former things are passed away. the former things of your pain, your hate. You see, you know, the act of the unrighteousness in a man is the thing that makes a man have torment. See it? Praise God.
Amen.
If you hate somebody, you know how uncomfortable you feel. You know how uncomfortable you feel when you are bitter towards somebody. See, when you lust for revenge, you know how uncomfortable you feel.
Yes.
You're not happy about that.
No.
See, and some people don't want to do these things, but they cannot. They are bound to a nature that is corruptible. See, but thank God to the revelation to Christ, who by his spirit sets us free, from the law of sin and death. He sets us free from a corruptible nature, ushers us all into a new heaven and a new earth, a new world, a new dimension. Praise God. It's a spiritual invisible kingdom that is the real world. See, this world that we're living through is temporal. It's a world of shadows. See, you look at something, you think that is there, it's not there. It's only that which is behind it that is there. Praise God.
Okay.
That's why the Bible says we should not have treasures upon the earth. Our treasure should be in heaven, in the spirit. That's from whence our salvation comes. Praise God. If you go down in Revelation chapter 21, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold," verse 3, "the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God."
Yes.
"And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes."
Amen.
"And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Oh, praise God.
Amen.
"And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am what the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the what? Fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh will inherit what? All things."
Amen.
"Amen. And I will be his God, and he will be my son." Amen. Let's stop there. Now, you see, we see the promises here. It says that the curses, the former things, are no more. Amen. We know along with the law, transgression of the law, came the curse, isn't it? Along with transgression came the curse. We know that the whole of humanity today is cursed. The whole of humanity is already under the wrath of God. Wrath. That is wrath. Indignation. They are under the curse of God. They are falling short of the glory of God. See, but we are getting new light, new revelation now. God wants to bring an end to darkness in our lives. See it? He wants to gather his people where they can live and tabernacle and abide in his presence. No more the impression of a God that is far away somewhere in the sky. No more of impression of a God that you have to, you know, fast 7 days to meet. No longer in the impression of a God that you have to shout to all day before he answers you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You become aware of his presence consciously. Praise God. You see, those that overcome shall inherit all things. See, it is the man of the spirit, which is Christ, that inherits all things. See, your inheriting all things is not by acquiring all the things upon the earth, no. It is by inheriting all things by the eyes of God. Isn't it God that owns everything?
Yes.
Does he come down to possess anything physically?
No.
Does he have to? Does he have to? In likewise manner, it is the man of light that actually inherits all things. Praise God. We have a kingdom that is exalted. We inherit a kingdom that is above all. We inherit a kingdom that does not fade away. Oh, hallelujah. The nations will perish. The nations will pass away. They will grow old. They wear away. But God remains forever eternally.
Yes.
And the seed of his servants, those that serve him, shall abide forever.
Amen.
They stand forever.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. They stand forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the privilege of those who find this new heaven and new earth. Yes. So what are we doing as brethren? It is continuous. We should know the hope first of all of our calling. See it? Because if you don't hold, if you do not know your the hope of your calling, how can you possibly enter? See it? Now, I've met different people, people with different hopes. Some people hope to one day Jesus comes in the sky to carry them away. See, some people hope that maybe this world will suddenly end and Jesus comes to take them away. But if we have ears to hear, we will and eyes to see, we see from afar off that the gate of the New Jerusalem is open down in the heavenlies. Praise God. The gate of the New Jerusalem is opened in the heavenlies, never to be closed forever. Praise God. If you go to the book chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, it says that blessed are those who purify themselves, who keep the words of this book, so that they might have what access through the gates into the city, which is into this new dimension, this new heavens and the new earth. Praise God. If we want to escape the curse of humanity, the torments and the horrors of this dark age, we must have a revelation of God's kingdom and seek that kingdom with all our hearts, will ask them. It's only in that dimension that the all power is restored. It's only in that dimension that the power to make all things possible, the impossible, the things that seem impossible to men. Mm-hmm. You see what Jesus Christ says? He said the things that seem impossible to men. Mm-hmm. See, they seem impossible to men, but they are all possible with God. Praise God. And that is the dimension we enter into and walk into. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You see, we begin to operate with that same power that created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. And we escape totally that sinful nature, lustful nature, you know, whereby we know that we are pleasing God constantly. And you know, the Bible says one thing. John says that if you keep yourself in his word, praise God, if you keep yourself in his word, anything that you ask him, he will do for you. Anything that you ask, we do for you, because in reality you ask in oneness with the name of the Lord. Those that walk in that name, those that keep themselves in that incorruptible word, do speak with the voice of God. Do sit on the throne of God. Praise God, because they are mixed, they are one with the Father. Isaiah 65 talks about the powers of the ages to come, because we must understand here, we're talking of the world to come, the ages to come, the kingdom to come, the new era in Christ. Praise God. Some have already entered it, some people are already enjoying that realm. Praise God. And more people are entering and pushing in to enter into that realm. Hallelujah. Like Jesus Christ says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is being preached, and many, many are pressing in to enter. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. Praise God. There has to be a determination when you get this revelation to enter in. Praise God. So that you can be a partaker of the excellency of God. You don't pass, you know, this earth and just die off like, you know, like a commoner. But you must pass this earth realizing who you are, awakening, you know, consciously to that thing that God deposited in you. Isaiah 65 says, we're talking of the way those who operate, those who find themselves in God's kingdom, they operate. 65. See, you see, right from the days of Isaiah, the Spirit has already been prophesying of a new heavens and a new earth, a new world, a new kingdom, a new dimension. Oh, praise God. Yes, 65. Verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. That's the former world that you lived in, the corruptible, corrupt you know, sinful world that you lived in, the dimension that you lived in darkness, where there is no knowledge of God, that will come to pass. But a new world comes into view for those who seek God. Amen?
Amen.
Eventually it will come to everybody, but first of all, for those who obediently seek Him. A new heaven and a new earth. Verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Praise God. No more crying. No more weeping. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more anguish of soul. No more tribulation. Those things remain, you know, are part of the old world, the old system, where men languish in the miry clay of humanity. Say pain, anguish of soul. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
All that is the wages of sin. But in a new heavens whose founder is God, this is where we are entering into now. This is the dimension we are entering into. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 20. There shall no more be hence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, listen, verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Praise God. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, said the Lord. Praise God. So we're seeing a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. God is teaching us the powers of the ages to come. It's a realm, you know, at times before we get answers, men get answers to prayers, they have to go fatigue praying a lot.
Yes.
There's a place you come to, see it, that you are so, you've come to, you are awoken in oneness with the living God.
Mm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's like your wish is my command.
Okay.
Have you had the gin in the bottle? Mm. Your wish is my command.
Of course.
Before you speak, I've already done it. Before you think of it, I've already heard.
That's what I want.
See, that is the realm of infinite possibilities.
Which is my command.
Yes, everything is possible.
Mm.
Praise God. This is the realm of Jesus Christ when he walked. You know Jesus Christ? When he went to raise up, is it Lazarus? He says, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. Now, Jesus Christ made all those statements.
As you always hear.
Yes, he made all those statements so that people will hear. In that realm, you don't need to speak. Your mind already is enough. Praise God.
Amen.
We've seen cases where you look at a person, the mind, the person is healed. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Where your mind, just your thought alone, can turn situations around. Praise God. That is the power of God flowing without limit in those who attain to this realm. Praise God. Because every barrier, every sin consciousness has been what? Destroyed and removed. The dense veil over our faces is no more. And we begin to walk in unity with God. In conscious awareness of the loving presence of the Eternal One. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Those who come to this place live by the power of God. Christ God. They live solely by the power of God. It is that power. This is the dimension Jesus Christ walked in, that he did all those things that seemed impossible to men. Praise God. Because he walked in the reality of the Father's presence. He walked in the reality of the new Jerusalem, of the new heavens and the new earth. He was an embodiment of the new heaven and the new earth. And this is where he's calling us into today. Praise God. He says that in this place there shall be no more hurting. No more destruction. The wolf and the lamb, will stay together in peace. Praise God. The lion will eat straw like a bullock, like an ox. But praise God, there shall be no destruction upon what? Upon the holy hill of God. It's a place of perfect harmony and peace. Within you, you know, within a man, there are natures, there are beastly nature in a man. You know, we said that we have characters in a man. If you look at the book of Revelation, when John the Apostle saw the throne of God, he said he saw four creatures. One had the face of an ox, one had the face of a lion, one had the face of an eagle, one had the face of a man, and all these were around the throne. Praise God. We can't share on that now, but I just give you a hint. Yeah. The throne of God is here. This is where God's throne is, within every man.
Yes.
Those four creatures are the natures of man. And those natures of man have to be tamed and come under the submission of Christ. When John saw them in the book of Revelation, the four creatures were worshipping God day and night, saying holy, holy, worshipping God day and night. See, but when you see what you see in this world today, the creatures are not worshipping God. The creatures are all going, everybody going his own way, and there is war in the body, there is war in the house. See it? You know when God created man in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, let all the beasts and all the fowl of the air be under his subjection. He talks about here. See, once a man can put every member of his body under his subjection, that is God manifested in the flesh. Then the spiritual man will come out. Then you will know that is God. You are seen in the flesh. See, so we must overcome. Praise God.
Amen.
Those beasts have to be put under subjection to Christ. Everything in us has to be put under the subjection of Christ. Our nature, our emotions, our desires, everything has to see only God and submit to only God and worship only God. See it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The beasts had, the cherubims, the four creatures had eyes all over them. We talk of spiritual enlightenment. See, in our humanity, those eyes are closed. They are sleeping. So they can't see God. So, but when you are waking, those eyes begin to awaken. You begin to realize that God is everywhere. He fills everything and everywhere. It's everywhere, every space, everything. The presence of God fills everything. The beauty of God is everywhere. When you are so illumined, and all those, everything in you now begins to be consciously aware of God, and you begin to become a creature that worships God in spirit and in truth. But it's only those who are working spiritually that can attain to this place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This Mount Zion is God's city. This is the place where the new Jerusalem is situated. See, when John saw it, he said he saw a city upon a hill. Jesus Christ says, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. He's talking of the Jerusalem. We are the city that is set upon the hill. We are the new Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
We are the ones who are of that new heavens and the new earth. But there must be an awakening. Praise God. In this dimension, all things are possible. In this dimension, you are under the shadow of the Almighty. In this dimension, the former things that you suffered as a man are no more. Your horrors, your fears, your torments, emotional pain. Some people are crying that somebody did something to them many years ago and they still have not been able to overcome. All these things come to pass. Some people have cried and their inability to overcome certain aspects in them that does not please God. Sincere Christians who have problems with addiction, drugs, with, you know, family problems and all that. If you submit yourself to Christ, you will discover peace of God that surpasses all knowledge. You enter into a new dimension. You enter into eternal life. God praise God. Where there is no hurt, no more hurting, no more destruction. This is what the Lord says. Said there shall be no more hurt or destruction upon my holy hill. Nothing, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All those things that have hurt you over the past, everything comes to pass. It's a thing of the past. And you become a creature of love. Praise God.
Amen.
So we just started off today by examining the word of Jesus when he says that this heaven and earth must pass away. So it, as long as this present heaven and earth, this is, we're talking of the natural realm, the realm of mortality that we live in as men, as long as we do not allow, submit to the light so that this realm passes away, we cannot, how do I say, enter into that dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace is here today. But as it works in us, it works in us to lift us out of the miry clay, to lift us out of this realm of darkness, this kingdom of darkness, where Satan reigns, and to put man into God's kingdom of light. Praise God. This is the translation of the saint, the transformation of the saint. Praise God. He wants to get us out of this realm into a new kingdom. Praise God. And I've always said there's a cost to pray, and the cost is that you must lose your life. Because your life is all part of the old world. Your mortal identity is all part of the old world. Praise God. But we are inheriting something that is eternal, immortal, incorruptible. And that is the name of the Lord. And the Lord is the Spirit. Praise God. New heavens and a new earth. Amen. It's an invisible dimension. Praise God. And it's possible to walk in that realm right now, even as you have your body. You don't have to die. Praise God.
Amen.
If you have come to this consciousness, there's no more feeling like death. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You come to the realm. Jesus Christ says, some of you standing here will never taste death. He was talking to those, that's the voice of the Spirit speaking. He's seen those of them who are standing there with him upon Mount Zion in the light. Because Christ stands in the light. So some of you standing here with me upon this holy mountain in God's kingdom will never taste death. It doesn't mean that you carry on with your physical body, but it simply means that you are not subject, you know, to the torment and the horrors of being separated from God. Praise God. Do you remember Stephen in the Bible? When they stoned Stephen to death? You studied the account very well in the book of Acts. As they stoned Stephen, his face was, he was glowing like an angel. And he just knelt down. As they were stoning him, he knelt down and prayed to God. You see, he was enveloped in the knowledge of God. He was enveloped in the light. See, when you come into that dimension, there's nothing like that. The Bible says he saw the Lord at the right hand. That revelation of the Lord is the revelation of himself at the right hand of God. When you come to that place, you can never taste that. See, bear in mind that in the new creation, there's only one man. There are no two men. You know that man? Christ. That's my Father's kingdom. Only Christ. There's only one man in God's kingdom. That's Christ. Everybody is by that name of Christ. See it. Only one man. Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ says in those days some people will come and say, but we did many things in your name. We did this in your name. We preach in your name. You say, get this behind me. I don't know you. You see, in reality, the secret behind that thing is that he does not know anybody apart from Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must be Christ to enter into God's kingdom. And Christ is the Spirit. You see, the mistake religion or the human mind tends to make is to limit Christ to the body of Jesus. See, but they don't realize that Jesus Christ himself was, he used that body to reveal Christ. Because that body, just a vessel, people are still waiting to hold that body, to still see it. But they don't realize that Christ is spirit. John says that, Paul says that, if we have known Christ after the, of the flesh, we know him no more after the flesh. That's over. We know him after the spirit. Praise God. He says Christ is the spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
The spirit is Christ. Christ is the spirit. We can come into this world for a moment and put on this body, but we are what? We are all spirit. We have the nature of our Father. Our Father is spirit and is invisible. It's always present. See it? Hallelujah. Now, it's a realm of joy. The New Jerusalem, the God's King, is a realm of joy beyond words. It's a realm of peace beyond words. It's a realm of all power beyond words. It's a realm of beauty. When you enter into that dimension, you begin to see the beauty of God in all that is made. The men of this age don't see beauty. Their eyes are veiled. But when you ascend, when you enter into this place, you will stand in awe, in reference at the glory and beauty of God. So let us, day by day, in meditation, patiently look for this new day, this new dispensation in Christ. So it is a realm of love. It's a realm of security. Praise God. As you enter into this realm, you might face contradiction from people who don't have the revelation that you have. But you must be convinced for yourself to know what the Lord has showed you. Ask the Lord, Father, show me. See, if you don't understand certain things, ask God, show me. Isn't he your Father?
Yes, sir.
Show me with a sincere heart, and he will show you. And he will lead you in to this place of life. Praise God.
Amen.